First, Matthew 8, and you'll find that on page 813 of the Pew Bible. Let's pray and ask for God's blessing as we look to His Word. Oh Lord, we now come to Your Holy Word, and we pray that Your Spirit would lead us as we meditate upon it, that the truth of Your Word would be clear to us, and that we would grow in grace and in our knowledge of Christ and in our commitment to His service. Bless us now as we come to Your Holy Word, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll be reading verses 18 through 22. Now when Jesus saw a great crowd around him, he gave orders to go over to the other side. And a scribe came up and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." Another of the disciples said to him, "Lord, let me first go and bury my Father." And Jesus said to him, "Follow me, and leave the dead to bury their own dead." And then turning over to 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you'll find that on page 995. We'll read the first 13 verses of this chapter. Paul the Apostle giving instructions to Timothy as he prepares to minister. The instructions can also, there are some parts of that, as we'll see, that certainly would apply to everyone. And Paul writes, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And when you have, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. An athlete is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. It is the hard-working farmer who ought to have the first share of the crops. Think over what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy, for if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself." And may God bless his holy word to our understanding this morning. As Jesus went around Israel preaching, teaching, performing miracles of all sorts, he attracted many, many followers. In our passage for today, we're going to see Jesus responding to two men who came and wanted to follow with him and to be with him. And we want to look at some misconceptions that they had, and misconceptions that others can have as well, as we meditate on our commitment to the Lord and what it means. And we want to particularly concentrate on the call upon you and I to be totally committed, fully committed to Christ in everything. And so we see here a crowd coming to Jesus, just to set the scene. And as he often did, he would have the disciples get the boats ready and they would cross over whatever body of water they were next to. And he calls upon them to get ready to do that. And a couple of people come up to him who have seen all the things he's done and heard his preaching and understand that he is a special person, a very important person, and they want to follow him. But as we see, Jesus is not pleased with their attitude and approach toward following him. And there's a couple of misconceptions that I think these men had, or they may have had one or the other. And oftentimes we see these misconceptions today. One is that discipleship is easy, that it's exciting, that it's glamorous. And that certain scribe there in verse 19 is one who probably had that misconception. He saw Jesus attracting these large crowds. The people were coming. Wherever Jesus would go, the crowds would just come. They would flock to him. The word had gotten out. This man speaks powerful words. This man, in particular, does miracles. He does miracles. And people see that. They see the large crowds. They see the excitement. And they want to be part of this exciting new movement. And the disciples could easily get the impression that all they had to do was identify themselves as followers of Jesus. And perhaps they too could gather the crowds. And maybe Jesus would let them do some miracles. And it would be exciting and thrilling and easy. There'd be no pain, no hardship. It'd be a great time. And it is exciting if you've ever been. Even like when we go to our international conference, it's an exciting time to gather with that large group of saints and sing the psalms and hear God's word preached in that large group and to interact with all these fellow believers. It's exciting. We see a lot of churches today that have very exciting services. And people are drawn in because of all the entertainment. You think of some places where they have a beautiful orchestra playing. And the large chorus and the soloists and it's very impressive, and people come and they say, well, yeah, I'll come here every week. I'll come and enjoy the service, and they may be blessed in various ways. And then certainly people come to Christ through at these services too. We don't want to deny that. But a lot of people come and they come for the hour and they're off for the rest of the week. And meanwhile, they've had some great entertainment while they gathered in the house of the Lord. And perhaps this scribe was thinking somewhat along those lines. I want to be part of this big new movement. It's exciting. Another misconception is that one can be a part-time disciple of Christ. And I think this other man had somewhat of that idea. And Jesus, of course, knew the hearts of these people. And so when we see Jesus' response to these two men, we know that something was not right in the hearts of those men. And Jesus knew that. We can't always judge a person's heart. Oftentimes we judge incorrectly. Jesus knew. And so this man felt he could come and go as he pleased. And that's a common attitude in our own culture today. Yeah, you can be part of the church and we can be involved in the church. And if it's convenient, I'll be there and I'll participate. And And if it's not, if I got something else to do, well, hey, I'll be back someday. And that's a very easy trap to fall into. If other things you need, if there's other things you need to do, don't worry. Come back when your business is completed and join in the group. Now, note that the desire to bury one's dead father is not an evil thing. And Jesus is not saying you can't bury your dead. He's not saying that at all. He has something much deeper to say. But several of the commentators that I read indicated that this man's father may not have been dead at this point. That he might have just been old. That he might have been very sick and maybe was going to die. And the man wanted to go back and just be there. And we're not sure. We can't tell all the details there. But several of the commentators thought that the words pointed in that direction. The man had a priority. And the top priority on his list was not following Jesus. It was taking care of family business. And that was the thing that Jesus was responding to. It's not that he's condemning people burying the dead. But he is responding to setting a priority that is below serving the living and true God. That is above that, rather. Not below. Above serving the living and true God. Well, there's some important lessons that we can learn as we think about these men and the things that surround what Jesus was saying. And first of all, if we study the scripture, it's pretty clear that discipleship is often difficult. Not always easy. Sometimes things go very well. Sometimes we can be real excited and we can, and everything seems to go just fine, but there are other times when it doesn't. And I think we've been through some of that. And we understand how difficult it is to be a disciple. We need to turn away from self-centeredness if we're to be a true disciple of Christ. We must be willing to give up our own personal rights to advance Christ's kingdom. And sometimes the things that we have to give up are perfectly okay, like burying the dead. But we must be willing, if there is a call and a need, we must be willing to step aside from what we see as priorities in our own personal lives to serve the Lord and to be committed first to Him. We must submit ourselves to Christ as our Lord. We must set ourselves up below Him, not above Him. And that's a radical change in one's life. When one becomes a Christian, if you're truly trusting in Christ, then He must be your Lord. And what He commands you in His Word must be what you do. Now, if you're still Lord in your life, then of course you set the priorities and you set the schedules and you determine what you will do. But you're not under Christ. And that's one of the signs that we truly know Him is when He is truly our Lord in all things in our lives. That's a radical change. It's a radical change that happens when you experience that new birth. A disciple of Christ must be willing to make whatever personal sacrifice is necessary then to faithfully serve Christ. Jesus knew His disciples could very well be put to death for their faith in Him. And many of them were, including the Apostle Paul as he's writing these letters that we read. Oftentimes he's in prison. And in the one that we read this morning, he's in prison, he's facing death. He's in cruel, horrible circumstances. And he's called to serve the Lord and trust Him. And not turn away just because things get difficult. Jesus was homeless. You know, as Jesus says there, the foxes have their holes. They have a hole in the ground. They have their nests. The birds have their nests up in the trees. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was literally homeless. Yes, people took him in and took care of him, and so he had his needs met. But he didn't have a place of his own to go home to. He had almost no worldly possessions. His disciples likewise could lose all that they owned of this world's goods because of their commitment to Him. And many throughout the ages have done just that. And they needed to be ready for an unglamorous life. And yes, there would be those high times and those good times, but there's also the unglamorous times. And so if you're a disciple of Christ, you are called to total commitment. You're not called to be a part-time Christian. You're on the front line of the battle against the evil one. And you need to put on that whole armor of God as you prepare to meet the enemy. And remember that as we look at Ephesians chapter 6, what that armor is. And we read, beginning with verse 13, chapter 6, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. We're called to be on the alert. We are called to be prepared, and we are called to understand that it is not health, wealth, and prosperity that necessarily come our way as we trust in Christ. Not that it's evil to have health, wealth, and prosperity. Those are blessings from God, if God would provide that. But that's not what we're called to, and that's not what we need to expect in the Christian life. We need to understand the difficulties. And Jesus knew those difficulties. And He knew the hearts of these people as they came, that they weren't ready for that. And He knew they needed to be. Remember that God can use you even the most difficult of personal circumstances, just like He used the Apostle Paul. And think of the spread of the gospel as a result of Paul being imprisoned and taken here and there, and how he preached to the people that guarded him, and how they went out and shared that good news, and how the gospel spread from this prisoner who was in chains. We're called to count the cost and be ready to make the necessary sacrifices if we're called to do that. To make a radical commitment to Jesus. In Luke 14, verses 25 to 35, Jesus, speaking here, says to the multitudes once again, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Pretty strong language there, and it doesn't mean that we're required by Christ to hate everyone in our family, but the idea is the priority and the commitment Which comes first, serving the Lord or serving someone else? You're called to commit your ways to the Lord. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which one of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it begin to ridicule him, saying, "This man began to build and was not able to finish." What king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and take counsel whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, no one of you can be my disciple who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good, but if even salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. The call to commitment, total commitment to Christ, a very powerful call, a call that requires a willingness to turn away from all the things of the world, the things that may be good in and of themselves, but to place them below our service to Christ. And so what kind of disciple are you as you examine yourself? What does your priority list look like? Are you willing to sacrifice for Christ? Are the things in your life that you won't give up if called upon? We have to be careful as we look at these words of Jesus to understand them in the light of the whole of Scripture. But the call is clearly to place all that He gives us to use under His authority and to use it in a way that glorifies and honors Him. He may bless you with a lot in this life, and you're called to set the top priority for that lot that He's given you on Him first, to use it for His glory and honor. You may be given little in this life, and you're called upon to use that little, whatever it may be, for the glory and honor of Christ, and to set your top priority on Him and not on however little or however much we may have. None of those things can take His place if you truly are committed to Christ. That's the call upon you and I. He's called us together as a body. We are called to be a body working together, united, committed to Him, serving the Lord, proclaiming the gospel to the community and to the world as He gives us opportunity. That's the call upon you and I. We must heed that call. Oftentimes we don't do that. It's very easy to leave here and to go our own ways, and to come back again next week, and that's all we've done. That's not all we're called to do. We are a body united together, called to serve the Lord. And let us commit ourselves to do whatever it takes to advance His kingdom. May He be glorified and honored as we do that. Let's pray. O Lord our God, You have redeemed us and called us to be Your servants, to commit our ways unto You, to trust in You, to honor You, to use all that You have given to us in this life to advance Your kingdom for Your glory and honor. Guide us, O God, and bless us as we seek to do that. Lord, where we've failed, where we've perhaps thought that, well, life is easy and we can just enjoy being a Christian and enjoy the good things and not be willing to make the sacrifice. Help us to understand, O Lord, that we may be called to sacrifice for You. And where sometimes it's easy to be a part-time Christian, O Lord, we pray that You would help us to see that that is not what You've called us to. That You've called us to a full-time commitment to You. Lord, help us to commit our ways fully unto You in all things, to honor You in all that we do, to do nothing that brings dishonor to Your name. Knit us together as Your people, O God. We are many different people. We have different thoughts and ideas. We pray, O God, that You would knit us together in our commitment and service to You, acknowledging You as our King and our Lord. Strengthen us, O God, that we may serve You together as Your body here in this place. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.